540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. More than 75,000 Kaiser Permanente healthcare employees have walked off the job now across several states. It's the biggest strike to hit the healthcare industry in American history. CBS News Los Angeles reporter Nicole Comstock reports from Ontario, California.
Armando Velasco took part in the walkout at Kaiser Permanente's LA Medical Center, where he's an X-ray tech. He says some patients there have to wait 3 months for serious appointments because of staffing shortages that started during the pandemic. And even though everyone's working extra shifts, he says they can't keep up.
We're worn out mentally, physically, breaking down.
The Coalition of Unions is asking for a $25 per hour minimum wage.
The leadership vacuum in the House of Representatives is raising new worries about aid for Ukraine as that country defends against the Russian invaders. CBS's Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
One of the two men already in the race to be House Speaker, Jim Jordan of Ohio, has criticized the continued use of U.S. tax dollars to Ukraine. You got to get it through both chambers of Congress. And the outlook for that is increasingly grim, too.
Pope Francis on Wednesday opened a meeting of church officials that could be the beginning of major changes for the Catholic Church. CBS's Chris Livesey is monitoring in Rome.
This summer, Pope Francis called some of his conservative critics in the U.S. backwards. As for blessing same-sex unions, Pope Francis says this shouldn't give the impression that they're on par with heterosexual marriages, still the only marriages the Catholic Church recognizes.
It's easier now for women in the San Francisco Bay Area to get a mammogram. KCBS radio reporter Matt Bigler has that story.
Inside the mobile mammography vehicle, women like Fazia Seagar's mother can get breast cancer screenings for free.
Actually, it's really important, so I'm glad we're here and we're having it done.
This has been a real godsend for us.
Nurse practitioner Mary Rudolph says most of their clients don't have health insurance.
A man accused of shooting and killing rapper Tupac Shakur in 1996 in Las Vegas made his first court appearance Wednesday on murder charges. CBS's Elise Preston was at the courthouse.
After Tupac Shakur's murder 27 years ago, the focus was on this Las Vegas courtroom as a handcuffed Dwayne Keefe D. Davis limped in, appearing before a judge and the world for the first time since the self-proclaimed gang member and drug kingpin was charged with Tupac's murder.
Apple has released an update to its iOS 17 system that powers the iPhone 15 to stop the phone from getting too hot to handle. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/...
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Earl Ingram.
It's Wednesdays. That means Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line and in full effect.
I think that the caller is right to be very suspicious. So we need to kind of hold both thoughts at once. Let's see if there's something there about Robin Voss being afraid and backing down, but let's be prepared for the idea this is all a ruse.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Dan Knotel, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Says Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He shouldn't even have BLTs. They're a terrible sandwich.
Oh, I love BLTs. That's
so do one, I.
The one deli sandwich I could have.
Greg, don't yuck my yum, dude. I will.
We've already established on this show today that Greg is happy to judge people's yums.
Bring me your yums, for I am the yum judge.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. This isn't Jane. What's going on in here?
My voice has gotten even lower.
There you go. We got Jane with us. We got Greg on the board. And I am your guest host, Joe Zepecki, sitting in today. Thanks for riding along with us. Jane, the news was newsing yesterday.
Unbelievable.
A historic day in American history. You may have seen, certainly, well-informed members of the public who are As Goes Wisconsin listeners.
Without a doubt.
Know that for the first time in American history, a sitting speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives has been deposed. We will have a lot of Kevin McCarthy and the circus that is the U.S. House of Representatives under Republican control this hour. We're also going to talk a little bit about something that's happening today.
Yes.
It has people, I don't know, worried, scared, freaked out, conspiratorial minded. In just a few hours, there is going to be a test of the National Emergency Alert System.
Yes, which has happened before.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, Joe, apparently, according to some on the Twitter machine, and I'll never call it X, bite me, Elmo. Yeah, there's the tone is going to set off whatever implants were placed in the COVID vaccines.
Oh.
So the tone is going to set off these implants to lead to the zombification of the people who got
zombie apocalypse.
The zombie apocalypse. It's okay. The beginning of the zombie apocalypse.
We're going to get to all of that. And I feel like we need to start closer to home with what happened last night at American Family Field.
Yes.
The high highs of being a Wisconsin sports fan, some low lows. I'm trying to sequence this all in my brain, but we live in an information environment where it's hard to keep it all straight. But it feels like it was very recently that within like a 48-hour span, Jordan Love and the Packers were rocking and rolling. The Milwaukee Bucks had acquired Dame Lillard in a blockbuster trade. And your Milwaukee Brewers had clinched the NL Central and were riding high going into the playoffs.
Yeah. It's incredible.
And then the Packers kind of laid an egg on Thursday night against the Lions. Jrue Holiday ended up on the Boston Celtics instead of the Portland Trailblazers, which is a much bigger problem for the Bucks if he's playing in Boston. And last night, game one of the wild card series, Brewers couldn't get it done. Kind of a second day of bad news in a row, because on Monday we found out that one of the star pitchers, Brandon Woodruff,
right,
would be out for this first round series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I was there last night.
Oh, you were?
I was. And
because they were leading.
The game started really, really well. Leadoff batters aboard in the first couple innings, took a 3-0 lead. Corbin Burns was looking like he was on his stuff. And that game turned around in a big hurry when the Diamondbacks came back and tied it. And then took a one-run lead, and then everything just kind of froze in place. Where for like seven frames, there were lots of runners on base, but no runs until Devin Williams surrendered a two-run double late. And the final, your Brewers 3, the Diamondbacks 6. All is not lost.
No, it's not.
It's a three-game series. We got two more to go. We got to get them both. Game 2 will be tonight at 6 p.m. And
this just always feels like what happens.
It felt so good those first couple innings. And then it just, I don't know. It was like the air went out of the ballpark.
I also feel like it just kind of took the air out of the entire month of September, which felt like a rising of the Phoenix that is the Brewers. Like, they were doing okay, but September, my gosh, they were just cranking it out. And it was like, oh my God, we're 1.5 games ahead. And all of a sudden, we're 7 games ahead. I mean, granted, we have an easier division, but it just was like, come on, guys. We make the playoffs a lot, but we always seem to flop it on the first round, and I don't like that.
This is As Goes Wisconsin. I'm your guest host, Joe Zepecki, in for Jane, who's with me. How does that all work?
Thank you for doing this, by the way. My husband and I had an early, could-not-miss medical screening appointment, and I was not sure how this was going to go, and I thought we were going to be late. And so I tapped you, you wonderful human being, to come in and sit in the big chair today.
Well, let's see how the next couple hours go before we do all of that. So if you were at American Family Field yesterday, if you've got any observations on the Milwaukee Brewers and what lies ahead, game 2 today, game 3 tomorrow, let us know. But let's get into what was the biggest news in these United States of America yesterday, which was the deposing of House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Now, informed listeners will remember that in January, Mr. McCarthy had a bit of a hard time nailing down that speakership.
It only took, what, 15 votes?
I thought it was 16.
Was it 16?
But it was
up there.
It took him a while to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of the deal to secure the speakership, Mr. McCarthy had to kind of give away the store. He had to empower the crazies in the Republican conference. Some have referred to them as the chaos caucus within the Republican conference. And so what that meant was, at any point, any single member could file a motion to vacate the chair. Very Robert's Rules of Order in all of this.
Right.
But in sessions of Congress past, when, like, Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House.
With the same margin of majority, right?
Yep, with like a 4-seat majority.
Yeah.
The rules of the House stipulated that you needed like 10 or 15 or 20, a more critical mass of members would have to come together to call for a motion to vacate the chair. Mr. McCarthy couldn't get elected Speaker with that rule in place. So at any moment since January, any single member could go to the floor and say, your time's up, buddy. We're going to vote on it. And in the wake of, you know, at this time last week, everybody in America assumed we were heading for a government shutdown.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was like fait accompli. Congress was bracing for probably a long shutdown. I think the longest one in American history was 36 days. That was when Barack Obama was president, Paul Ryan was speaker, and there was some speculation that this shutdown could last even longer than that. And then, at the 11th hour, a deal, a 45-day continuing resolution to extend the government funding through, I guess, the middle of November. And in order to pass that CR, Democrats had to kind of bail Speaker McCarthy out.
Yep.
Because the far right extremists in the Republican conference weren't having it. And I think it was like 11 o'clock at night on Saturday, you saw President Biden finally signing the bill to keep the government open. It would have shut down at midnight on Saturday. Quick aside on that. You want to know what kind of guy Joe Biden is? You want to know how much respect he has for the office he holds and the people he serves? At 11:08 p.m. Eastern time, that man put on a suit to sign the funding bill. He wasn't in a suit. It was Saturday night.
You mean he doesn't spend all of his time in a suit and tie?
He was probably in his jammies. But because of the respect he has for that office, he said, you know what? If I'm going to sign a bill to keep the government open, I'm going to put on a suit and tie. I thought that was pretty remarkable and a nice demonstration of how much respect he has for the office and the job that he has. So the government stays open. And now the question becomes, by working with Democrats to keep the government open, can Kevin McCarthy survive? And then on Monday, we had Matt Gaetz from Florida file this motion to vacate. And yesterday, you had the vote, which was high drama for a little while.
Yeah.
Right? There was.
Oh, yeah.
One of these funny things, if you watch enough Congress, you kind of know that almost everything is predetermined ahead of time. You have a sense of how the votes are going to shake out, whether they're there, whether they aren't. And there was a real question as to whether McCarthy would survive the vote or not. And among the things that were being bandied about as potential ideas was maybe a couple Democrats help Kevin McCarthy
stay alive,
retain the speakership. And, you know, spoiler alert, you've seen the headline this morning. They did not. In the next segment, we'll talk about, you know, what we think of that. We'd love to get your take on that on the call or text line. Plug the number, Jane.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY.
Yeah. What do you think of how this all went down yesterday? We know what the final vote was, which was 216 to 210. What was your experience throughout the day? Were you following this, like, every twist and turn, Jane?
I was not every twist and turn, but certainly I was checking in on this quite a bit. And I just want to call them the whoop whoop boing caucus now. Because it's Three Stooges, man. It is. It's Looney Tunes. And the fact that the Republicans now are so outraged at the Democrats for not stepping up to save Kevin McCarthy is absolutely laughable.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I think the Democratic position is sort of not our clown, not our circus.
Exactly.
You guys are in charge.
Yeah.
You made this mess.
You deal with it.
We'll talk about some of the reasons after the break, if you come on back with us, why we think Democrats turned on McCarthy, if that's even how you want to describe it.
Right.
I personally don't think it is.
I don't think they turned on him.
No, it's not their job to help him out. And you'll hear some of the things that he did that I think Democrats were taking particular issue with. But before the break, I want to share this little fun fact. So it turns out that by serving from January after the 16 ballots, making it just into October, Kevin McCarthy has the shortest run as Speaker of the House since the 19th century.
Wow.
In the late 1800s, there was a Speaker of the House who had a shorter term because he died of tuberculosis.
Hey, Kevin, you stand alone. Well done. Embrace it.
I find that a reminder of the progress we have made. Much more to come in the next 2 hours. I'm Joe. She's Jane. Greg's on the board. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Come on back for more discussion of Kevin McCarthy and the crazy day that was in Washington, D.C. yesterday.
Whoop, whoop, boing.
Did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Well, he had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How'd they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Aldous Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Aldous Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 56. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High of 72 tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night, lows around 45. Chance for scattered showers Friday and Saturday. Upper 50s Friday, mid 50s by Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Listeners of the Civic Media Network don't need any education, but some people do.
Some do.
We're here to make you smart. I'm Joe Zepecki, sitting in for Kristen and Jane, because Jane is sitting in for Kristen, but Jane is also here. We're working it out.
I'm here too.
Hey, Greg on the big board. Coming to you live from 540 AM. WAUK, The Shaw, in the heart of downtown Waukesha. This hour, chopping it up, talking about the crazy day that was in Washington, D.C. yesterday, with now former Speaker Kevin McCarthy being deposed by 8 rogue Republicans. Before the break, I was mentioning that this was really uncertain. We didn't know how it was going to go.
I thought he was going to hang on to it. I really did.
Yeah, and it's hard to overstate the drama that went into this. And part of this, and this is where it gets into political math, with 435 members of the House, 218 is the magic number when everyone is there. But there was some uncertainty about how many members would be missing from the vote. The most prominent among them is that Speaker Emeritus Nancy Pelosi was not in Washington, D.C. yesterday. She is in California grieving the loss of the late Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, longtime friend of hers. And so the final number of votes cast was 426. So that made the magic number smaller. We knew that there were 5 Republicans who had it with McCarthy and were going to vote to throw him off the island.
Yep.
In the end, 3 additional Republicans, including Representative Nancy Mace, voted him off the island. So the final vote was 216 to 210. And again, we can't overstate the degree of chaos and anger and frustration that has now boiled over in the Republican conference. Reporting from Axios, quote, House Republicans were distraught, furious, and concerned for the future of their party after Kevin McCarthy announced he won't run for speaker again after being ousted on Tuesday, end quote. And this is one of the wrinkles that got ironed out yesterday, because McCarthy and his allies were saying, fine, you vote me out, I'm going to put my name right back in for a nomination, and I don't care if it takes another 15 or 16 ballots, I'm going to be the speaker when this all shakes out. And now maybe that was a bluff. Maybe that was a reflection of the fact that there is no other consensus candidate among the Republican ranks about who can get 216, 217, or 218 votes. But it was pretty shocking that immediately after Kevin McCarthy was deposed, he basically threw up his hands and said, okay, that's it.
I'm done.
I'm done. I'm not going to run again. Did that strike you? Was that surprising to you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, he's wanted this his whole life has been leading up to becoming speaker and getting the title above his door and getting his photo in the hallway with all the other previous speakers. And so he obviously has some other game plan in mind. It's not like he's just going to walk away and write a book and disappear.
Well, that was what I was thinking. Was I said, if he gets voted out, does he resign from Congress? How embarrassing is that?
Right.
That you got deposed by the eight people who you let have all the power.
But we are making the assumption that they feel embarrassment at all.
I suppose that's right. The degree of shame in our politics is not what it used to be.
Not by a long shot.
I have a feeling that he won't run again. And when he gets into private life, he will then write a book and go the John Boehner route, which will be trashing the modern GOP, while all the time knowing that he did his best to suck up to Donald Trump in the most transparent way, and he will just be kind of a laughingstock footnote.
I think that's right. And I mean, that's among the big questions, and I'd love to hear from our audience on this today on the text line, 844-96-PARTY.
844-967-7279, 844-96-PARTY. You got it.
You can text, you can call. You can help us answer this big question. Did Democrats do the right thing? And so one of the subplots yesterday to were Democrats going to save Kevin McCarthy was that apparently on Monday evening, the Democrats met as a team, and caucused. And among the things that they watched was Kevin McCarthy's appearance on one of the Sunday shows from the day before, where after Democrats had bailed him out by keeping the government open.
Yes.
He excoriated Democrats and blamed them for the shutdown. And the vibe I was getting from Democratic members of Congress who talked about this was it was sort of the last straw. Why it even took that, I don't know. Because among the offenses that were listed is that after, in the wake of January 6th, Kevin McCarthy saying Donald Trump bears responsibility for the attack on the Capitol.
That didn't last.
2 weeks later, he was down in Mar-a-Lago.
Kissing the ring.
He opposed the creation of a January 6th select committee. He turned over the January 6th security footage to Tucker Carlson without giving it to all members of the media. He struck a deal with Joe Biden as part of the debt limit negotiations and then didn't live up to that deal.
Reneged on his deal.
He launched a baseless impeachment inquiry without a vote of the House, after 1 month before that, saying the only way he would do it was if the votes were there. So this is someone who at every turn, Democrats could not trust, should not trust. And so why anyone is surprised that Democrats didn't save him, I don't know. And I want to hear from you. Did they do the right thing? Should they have saved Mr. McCarthy? I know where I stand, which is no way. No way, no how. I don't care who comes next. Kevin McCarthy lacks consistency, doesn't seem to live up to his word too often. Can't trust him, can't vote for him. But what do you think? Let us know on As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Joe, she's Jane. Greg's on the big board. Come on back after the break.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. More than 75,000 Kaiser Permanente healthcare workers are now on strike across several states. CBS's Joe Ling Kent says they're demanding more money and more help caring for their patients.
Right now, what Kaiser is offering is between $21 and $23 an hour, and that's just over what a fast food worker will be earning here in California when it comes to the minimum fast food wage.
Congressman Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan are in the running for Speaker of the House, says CBS's Skylar Henry.
Kevin McCarthy, the man who held that job until Tuesday afternoon, was asked about it.
Oh, they're two good friends. Both would do great.
Siamo per camminare insieme con lo sguardo di Gesù.
Pope Francis has opened a global meeting on the future of the Catholic Church. Among the topics to be discussed, the ordination of female deacons and the church's response to its gay members. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, it was Sam's first day flying solo because Aaron said he was going bear hunting. Aaron's not here this morning.
He's
so
not.
It's either Aaron doesn't need to be here or Aaron's been eaten by a bear.
Gosh, I'd sure hope that Aaron hasn't been eaten by a bear.
Well, he's not there. Now I'm just afraid that if we ring up his phone somewhere out there, Mrs. Bear is going to elbow Mr. Bear and go, is your tummy rumbling?
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes, Melissa. That was like 12 years ago. What do you think the hangup is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out of touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Under the helmet with the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Jordan Love was 15 for 27 for 245 yards and 3 TDs against a JV team.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't like Chicago, but I ain't going to call them a JV team. They suck, but it's a slap in the face. Okay. I'm laughing at y'all Bear fans.
I know, man.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey, man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Joseph Pecky. Jane Matinair with me, and Greg is on the big board today. The big question this hour, all about Kevin McCarthy.
Yes.
Former Speaker of the House. Did Democrats do the right thing? Should they have thrown him a lifeline? Hey, next hour we're going to have former Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, now the president of Power to the Polls, talking about an op-ed that popped this morning on Wisconsin Examiner. Talking about democracy and voting. It should be an interesting conversation if you'll stick with us next hour. But for now, let's go to the text and talk line. From the 262, As to the question of did Democrats do the right thing, the 262, Dems killed two birds with one stone. They got rid of a political adversary whom they couldn't trust, and they threw the GOP into chaos. It should flip a few voters who see Republicans as incapable of governing heading into next year's election. A fair point.
Fair point.
Maybe my quibble would be, I don't know that Dems were the ones that threw them into chaos.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
The chaos was kind of the point if you're Matt Gaetz.
The chaos was already there.
Yeah, it's the chaos conference.
Yes.
We've also got Andrew from Maine saying concerned about how the remainder of this term of Congress will go for the next 15 months. With the challenge the GOP just had getting McCarthy seated, can they even pick another speaker? Or will we just go with a temporary speaker until January of 2025? Andrew noting a couple of Republicans that have no plan to run again maybe could partner with Dems, but he doesn't see that happening. I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
Here's the brief update. So, and I didn't know this, but after McCarthy became speaker, he basically like writes down a name on a piece of paper, sticks it in an envelope, and hands it to the clerk. And that envelope stays sealed, and nobody knows what name is written on it. But it's like, in the unlikely event that something happens to the speaker, here's who I want to be the temporary interim speaker, or they're referred to as the speaker pro tem.
Okay.
So yesterday after McCarthy gets deposed, they open this envelope. It turns out it's North Carolina Congressman Patrick McHenry, who frequently sports a bow tie on the floor. I kind of went, I remember that guy. And in one of his first acts as acting speaker, what did he do, Jane?
They evicted Nancy Pelosi from her office.
What?
Yeah.
So
Nancy Pelosi, by the way, who is in California.
Mourning her friend's death.
Mourning her friend, Dianne Feinstein. She's there for Dianne Feinstein's funeral. So while she's out of town, yeah, that's the first thing Patrick McHenry does is say you have to vacate your offices. And so Hakeem Jeffries' staff had to step in and take care of that. And then the next thing that they did was throw out Steny Hoyer. Out of his office.
And so for folks who aren't maybe familiar with the inner workings of the Capitol, every one of the 100 senators has a special, it's called a hideaway office in the U.S. Capitol building. Their actual offices with their staffs and everybody, those are in buildings that are a few blocks away from the Capitol.
Right.
Some members of Congress, the House, get a hideaway in the Capitol as well. Hideaway is not a conspiratorial term here. I don't know why
it's just what it's called.
It's what it's called. And a courtesy that in the past has been extended to former speakers of the House is that they get to maintain an office in the Capitol. So, for example, when Nancy Pelosi became speaker and Denny Hastert was still in Congress.
Wow.
How's that for a flashback? We don't want to go down that rabbit hole. She let him have an office for as long as he wanted.
Yep.
And Kevin McCarthy had sort of honored that precedence and allowed Nancy Pelosi to continue to have an office in the Capitol. And Patrick McHenry, in his first act, or second act, I guess his first act was gaveling the House into recess.
And that was quite a gavel.
Oh, he smashed that gavel hard.
He was enjoying the gaveling.
You think he was enjoying it?
Oh, I think he was maybe channeling.
Yeah.
Maybe channeling some frustration would be a better way to put it.
There was some frustration,
yeah.
I think, evident in the slamming down.
Surprised the gavel survived.
Congress was supposed to work this week.
Yeah.
They were all supposed to be there, and instead, they're all flying home. I actually reached out to Congressman Pocan to see if he would be able to join us today because his schedule cleared up. He's actually traveling back to Wisconsin to do the people's business. But I digress. Thanks for the texts. Let's go now to the phone lines. I think we have Gary.
Gary from Sussex. Gary what's from going Sussex. On?
Well, just to bring up old business, I never heard Christian's baby's name.
Oh.
Then I have a comment. I don't know what it is.
It's Francis Louise, Gary.
Little Frankie.
Little Frankie.
Oh, okay.
Or Frankie Lou.
Frankie Lou.
Because I had a guess and I was wrong, and then you said you're going to announce it at like 10:30, but then I had to go back to my job.
Yep, it's Francis and I bug her every day for pictures, and they both look fantastic.
And we may have
she may join us next Wednesday.
Okay.
From home.
Uh-huh.
So we will, yeah, once we get that locked in, we will make the announcement.
Get
and
the A-team back in here. Get exactly. me out of here.
Oh, you're fine. So what did you want to say, Gary?
Right, now back to business.
Yeah.
I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. I'm not like crazy, crazy right wing. I'm more of a, I'm not a moderate. I am completely right wing, but I also understand how people think. I understand that people have their own opinions, and I strive for people that, you know, to tell me how they think. Now, this is what I think is going to happen. Okay, McCarthy is out. It's a tough job. You have to be a moderator between the Hatfields and the McCoys, and that's kind of a crummy position to be in. Now, because the Republicans are in such chaos, unless they straighten this thing out and when they have a new vote, I don't believe it's going to go 15 rounds. I believe it's going to go one round or two rounds. So they have to save face, okay? Because if they go another 15 rounds, we might as well just forget about 2024 because it's nuts, you know? Now, I'm a business owner. I own a heating and air conditioning business, and I'm on my way to my next call. But what's going on in how I look at it compared to when Trump was in business, my business was doing well. Bill Clinton was president. It went well. I was making money in the stock market. Interest rates were reasonable at that time. When Trump was in power as president, interest rates went down to like 8. Now they're up, down to like 2.9. Now it's at 7.9 for a 30-year loan. In the stock market, I've lost over $500,000 in the last year or so. I'm not happy with Bidenomics at all. And I don't think anybody else is, I don't think anybody's prospering in this, you know, in this time that we're working and living. So to me, everything is in chaos on both sides, not just the Republicans, but if the Republicans are going to get back the presidency, they got to straighten this thing out. And if they, when they pick a new, you know, House leader, it's going to be in the first round or second round. They're going to be ready to go. Now, that's my opinion.
We will find out. Thanks for the call, Gary. Yeah. I think one of the points that you're getting at is like there remain pragmatic Republicans.
There are.
It doesn't mean that they're not very conservative. It doesn't mean that they don't have a very different worldview than progressive Democrats, right? That's not the problem. From the founding of this country, people have had strong disagreements about policy and, you know, ideology. The difference is, where is the pragmatism? You know, in my view, whether it's a Democratic-controlled House or a Republican-controlled House, whatever the ideology of the particular speaker, right? Nancy Pelosi may not be my kind of Democrat. She's probably more liberal than I am. And I, you know, that's the reality. But she was pragmatic.
Yes.
And so the question becomes, with a small number between 5 and 10 Republican members of the House, who I would say are not pragmatic, they are there to sort of burn the House down. They thrive on the chaos.
Yes.
Starting with Matt Gaetz.
Yes.
The question is, who can get to 218 votes? Who can corral the crazies? And this morning we see the first Republican who has thrown their hat into the ring and is going to try to become Speaker, Jim Jordan, Republican from Ohio. Listen, I would put him in the crazy caucus. You may not. Gary may not. That's fine. I would say more of a show horse than a workhorse in his congressional career.
Absolutely.
But he will not be the only Republican who runs for Speaker. Steve Scalise is also looking at it. Elise Stefanik is rumored to be looking at it. And so Gary can hope and wish and pray that Republicans can get this done in a vote or two. If I were betting today, I would bet that this is going to take a while, that in the name of trying to get it sorted out, they are going to leave Speaker Pro Tem Patrick McHenry in place for a while. And then once it's all sort of worked out behind the scenes, then come to the floor. Greg, did you want to jump in?
One of the things that Gary brought up, and I've seen this a lot on Twitter, every Republican who's tweeting or on X or whatever you want to call it, talks about Bidenomics. And it always seems to be like, you know, they're fortunes, their money always seem to go away when a Democrat's in office. And, you know, as far as the interest rates go, I know this because I bought a house last year and we missed that 2%. And we ended up, we had 5.3, and I'm not happy about it, but it's, they had to do what they had to do, raise those interest rates to combat inflation. You complain about losing money, but what did you want the country to do? We have to make tough steps. And yes, that includes your money, but then get your money on the stock market. Then if the stock market always seems to go down or seems to fluctuate or always seems to anger the Republicans when there's a Democrat as the president. So if you don't like it, pull your money out, put it somewhere safer. But you can't play the game and then get mad at the rules, because this is what always happens.
Well, and I want to point out, too, to Gary's point about interest rates have been held at unnaturally low levels for a very long time. That was intentional to get people back into homes right after the crash after 2008. And so, yes, we have had some big interest rate increases. But as Greg pointed out, too, that was to combat coming out of the pandemic when we lost hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Yep. Texter points out that interest rates are up worldwide. In fact, here in the United States, they're among the lowest. Inflation has been a challenge.
Worldwide.
Here in the United States, we're actually doing better than in most of the rest of the world. So, listen, I think I hear Gary. I understand he's frustrated. I think a lot of Americans are frustrated right now. I do think it's worth taking a step back, understanding the context of where we've been in the last couple of years, which was that the global pandemic, and we don't need to get into whether it was a perfect, totally failed, or somewhere in the middle response to that. The reality was you weren't going to go through a global pandemic and not have economic shocks. That's what happened. Policymakers have made decisions and choices. And as a result, we've got almost record low unemployment.
Yes.
People are back to work.
Yes.
And interest rates may be up, but inflation is coming down. One quick question from the text line before we go. If a new speaker does not get seated before the federal funding runs out, can the Senate pass a funding bill without the House? No, is the short answer, because the Senate cannot start any fiscal bills. That is a power reserved to the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, a speaker pro tem can sort of run the House. It's just harder. It's a lot harder when you've got, you know, different Republicans trying to get votes for speaker.
Don't forget, there are some Republicans who want to burn it down.
Yeah.
That is their intention.
Yep. No question. It's, you know, listen, if you give a small child scissors, something bad's going to happen.
They will cut their hair.
And Kevin McCarthy, to become speaker in the first place back in January, gave the toddlers in the caucus a pair of sharp scissors.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he gave all of them a pair of scissors.
Yeah. And so I don't think we're particularly surprised that this went down, but it still was like jarring to see American history play out on our television screens yesterday with former Speaker Kevin McCarthy getting deposed. More to come this hour on As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Joe Zupecki, sitting in for Jane, who's right here next to me.
Who's sitting in for Kristen.
What a wonderful series of events.
And I'm sitting in for Jane.
It's like musical chairs in here. Come on back after the break. More on As Goes Wisconsin.
It's not too late to whip it into shape. Shape it up. Get straight. Go forward. Move ahead. Try to detach it. It's not too late to whip it. Go whip it good.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 56. Winds out of the northwest 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 72. Lows around 45. Tomorrow night, clear skies. Chance for scattered rain showers. Friday and Saturday, 58. Friday, 55. Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. WAUK.
Pecky sitting in the big chair today, trustiest of sidekicks, Jane Matinair, riding along with me, as is Greg Bach on the big board. Hey, we've hit a lot of Kevin McCarthy and the drama on Capitol Hill yesterday. We may come back to that in the back half of the show, but wanted to get to a couple of other news items here on As Goes Wisconsin and the Civic Media Network, because a couple of other things happening. The split screen yesterday was, of course, chaos in Congress.
Yep.
And then former President Donald Trump ranting and raving like a lunatic on the steps of a courthouse where he is attending the trial in a civil case brought by the state of New York, where a judge has declared that the Trump Organization has been defrauding the state of New York for years.
Such a shock.
I'm shocked to find out there's gambling going on in this establishment.
Thank you. Yes.
And to just break this down for folks, because I'm not sure I've heard it this way a lot. Like, okay, what did Trump do? What does it mean to be a fraud? Let's say you've got a house that's accurately appraised at about $150,000.
Okay.
That's a nice house.
Yeah.
And come time to pay your property taxes, though, if you declared, actually, my house is only worth $75,000, and that's what I want to pay property taxes on. That would be a no-no.
Wait, I can't do that?
You cannot do that.
You especially can't do that when it's a $150,000 house, and you're claiming it's $75,000 when it's tax time. But then when you go to the bank and try to get a home equity line of credit, you say, actually, this house is worth $500,000, and I want to borrow against that. And so, yeah, Greg, we're really breaking Greg's heart over here. It turns out that that is what Trump was doing.
For decades. Yes.
With all of his real estate holdings, artificially inflating and deflating the appraised value of properties that he had in order to maximize his own financial position. And you can't do that.
Well, and what I love even more is that he likes to say, well, this is what I feel it is.
Right. It's a vibe.
It's a vibe. Yeah, it's a feeling. Vibes. It's how I feel about the value of Mar-a-Lago.
That's right.
It's not how it's actually appraised.
Yep.
And so that would be based in reality.
So New York Attorney General Letitia James calls him out on it, right? Files these charges. And a judge just rules, oh, yeah, we don't have to go to trial here. The evidence is all here. And the Trump defense team forgot to check the box asking for a jury trial.
Ruh-roh.
Whoops.
I have something for that. Ah! I have something for that.
It's not what you want.
And this is what happens when you develop a reputation of not paying people for their work for you.
Oh, is it harder to find good counsel?
It is more difficult, again, when you develop a long-standing reputation of stiffing people, cheating people, paying them a half of what they're owed.
If that.
If that. Yep. And yes, then it becomes more difficult to find good, respectable lawyers who got a degree not from Chuck's School of Law.
That's right. And so this trial going on this week in the great state of New York is all about what's the penalty going to be for Trump and the Trump Organization. It is not about whether or not he did this.
It's done.
It's done.
It's done.
They committed fraud. The only question is how much they're going to have to pay, what that's going to look like to make himself whole. And I'm going to tell you, former President Trump is big mad about this.
He's bigly mad?
There are times when you see him feigning anger
right.
because he thinks that's good politically. He is genuinely very, very mad about this. And in true Trump fashion, cannot hold his tongue. So he is going after the judge. He's going after the judge's clerks. And yesterday was hit with a limited gag order. We have in special counsel Jack Smith request a limited gag order. That has not been ruled on yet. By the way, it's getting really hard to keep this all straight.
I know.
91 felony counts. Charges yep. and three different venues.
Yep.
It's a lot. But for the first time, we are seeing former President Trump with a limited gag order. Stay tuned. More to come on that. In the weeks ahead. The other thing happening today, this is closer to home in Madison, is Republicans have introduced a bill targeting trans youth and trying to prevent them from playing sports. And this is not the first time this has happened. This is a movement across the country where conservatives and Republicans are trying to legislate away a problem, in their view, a problem that does not exist. And we don't have a lot of time before the top of the hour, but I want to encourage anybody who wants to learn more about this issue of trans youth in sports to check out a show called Pablo Torre Finds Out. Pablo works for ESPN. He's a sports guy. And I heard a remarkable podcast last week that he did where Ohio, when they passed a bill on this, you had Republican members of the legislature saying this was rampant and trans girls were tipping the scales and it was unfair to kids, reported receiving countless complaints and evidence of this. And they were all lying.
No,
because there was only one trans girl in the state of Ohio who was playing sports.
The entire state.
The entire state. And Pablo Torre found this young woman and had a remarkable conversation with her. And by her own admission, she's not very good at softball. But she loves the experience and to get, you know, that camaraderie and hang out with her teammates. And it is among the most compelling hours you can spend educating yourself about this issue.
So are you implying that this young woman is not doing this because she expects to make the Olympic women's softball team?
Correct.
No.
She's doing this because she knows she needs to get out of her house and not just play with her like 40 reptiles. She's got snakes and little critters and iguanas. And
she just likes to play the sport.
Yeah. She's the backup catcher.
I'm shocked.
And it led Republicans in Ohio to pass this restrictive law mandating pretty gross, invasive stuff when it comes to kids. And so, I just want to point out, I do not think there is a wave of trans girls ruining high school sports in this state or youth sports. And so at a time when we have a child care crisis, at a time when we need a engineering building, at a time when we have other real challenges,
major challenges,
it seems like Republicans in Wisconsin are taking the page out of the playbook that just says, we'll just invent a problem that doesn't actually exist. And that's a shame. And it's shameful to do that at the expense of kids who are trying to find their way. That's hour one of As Goes Wisconsin with Joe and Jane. Come on back. We will be joined by former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. He's got a really interesting op-ed in the Wisconsin Examiner this morning. Come on back after the break.
Thank you. If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.